Spirit Radio Podcasts.
So this forthcoming Friday, the 10th of October, it's World Mental Health Day. It's such an important topic, a topic that is very close to my own heart. And it's going to be a global event, and it's an opportunity for organisations, people, different campaigns working in mental health advocacy, really to bring about awareness of mental health to local, national and international arenas. And I really think it's an opportunity to remind people that everybody needs to care for their mental health. You've heard me say it so many times before on Spirit Radio. You know, we bang on about looking after our physical health, bang on about looking after our spiritual health, and it's totally not talked about enough that looking after our mental health is just important as any of the others. And a big part of World Mental Health Day is to ending the stigma often associated with mental health issues. In the studio now to talk to us about coping with mental health and his own experience as well is health advocate and author of Mood Swings, Richard McGee. Richard, thanks a million for joining us in studio this morning.
Thanks very much, Wendy. Pleasure to be here. Just trying to fight stigma as much as I can.
Well, first of all, Richard, you might just tell us a little bit about yourself and your own experience with mental health issues.
Well, when I was 14, I was in Clongowes, a boarding school down the country, a very well-known school, kind of upper-class school, if you like. Well, not upper-class, but upper-middle-class school. And I was there, and I was okay in my early teens, but by the time I got to 15, I was very, very nervous. And there was a lot of slagging in Clongowes, and I wasn't able to cope with it, so I reacted in my own way. And the problem was I was developing schizophrenia, but I was never given any medication for it till I was 21, because I went to the doctors from the age of 16. I was taken out of Clongowes after the intercert, and my father and mother knew that it would be better to take me out. So I was taken out, and I was sent to Sanford Park, a school in Ranelagh. But my problems were pronounced from 15, but I was given no medication. And then I started reading all these positive thinking books after a couple of years, and they helped me to cope until the next thing was, at 21, I became totally psychotic. Problem was, I wasn't treated for psychosis, which is total confusion and paranoia and basically a shutdown of the personality. That didn't happen until I was 21, but I was very nervous and insecure for a lot of my teens, and I should have been given medication at the age of 18 or 19, you know.
And do you think, Richard, a lot of that was because at that time, you know, there wasn't enough awareness about mental health issues in Ireland in terms of seeing the right medical professionals, getting the right help, getting the medication that you might have needed?
Well, that's actually true, but you know something, Wendy? They actually misdiagnosed me. That was the problem. I went to a doctor who remained nameless, obviously, who smoked a pipe and looked at me and couldn't see anything wrong with me. Then I was sent to a place in Blackrock, the Blackrock service for the John of Gods, and they looked at me and they couldn't see anything wrong with me. They brought me into hospital and observed me for 18 days and saw nothing wrong. And then at 21, bang, the full thing. It's very hard to diagnose when somebody's in the early stages of it, but still there was definitely a problem, and it was overlooked. And as a result, I was in college in Carlow, and I'm very outgoing and good crack, and people wouldn't realise that I'd be the type to get it. And I was doing stand up comedy and all, because I do impersonations, and an audition for the Late Late Show. But by the time the whole thing came around, I was far too sick, so I'd failed my exams. And then I went like mad. Instead of doing something sensible, I did a mad thing. I went off to America on a J1, and only for I met a GP over there who gave me antidepressants, I wouldn't have survived, you know. But it was my mother begged me not to go, but it was an experience in more ways than one.
And tell us a little bit about the book now that you've written. It's called Mood Swings, and it's an autobiographical account of your own experiences of just coping with mental illness.
Well, it's actually a story about our story about four of us, a band. We tried to get this band together. Now, it wasn't much of a band, but it was a good laugh. And we were all sufferers from the services, and we were in a John of God's house, which one of the group homes, family, you know, hospital homes that they have dotted around Dublin, the south of Dublin. And we were in there, and we decided we were all on medication, and we were all in a good bit of medication, and all we were doing was going to Burton Hall. So we had a lot of time. Burton Hall is a good place, but it kind of wraps up at about 2 or 3 o'clock every day. It is a very good service. But anyway, we were in this band, and we tried to form this band, and we were rubbish, but we went around trying to get gigs and everything. And the story recounts the story of the lives of the four of us while we were in this band, arguing and getting basically no money for all the gigs because we just weren't good enough. We'd got a few trial gigs and we were told we weren't good enough. And then Vinny used to go off and have a few drinks when he got nervous because he thought he couldn't play, and then he wouldn't be able to play for definite after the drinks, you know.
And tell me, Richard, writing this book, was it for you, was it something that was a little bit kind of cathartic or healing?
Yes, it was, because the unfortunate thing, Wendy, is that the three lads in the band with me are dead. And so they committed suicide, and then Mick Bowers, our manager, he was great, but he just died of complications in hospital when he was about 58 because he smoked a lot and his medication had kind of damaged him. He'd been on a lot of medication, but it did. It was definitely healing. It was definitely healing, but it was just to commemorate their lives, and it was an idea I had, and from it sprung the idea for the second book I've written, which is Where Were You, Jesus, which will be out next year. So I'm hoping. I just, you know, you don't want to be a celebrity. You just want to fight stigma and just do what you can to help those who it doesn't worry me that much, you know, facing the media. So compared to the way some sufferers would be nervous, so in that respect I don't mind coming on.
And do you think, Richard, that there still is a stigma surrounding mental health in Ireland?
There is. You see, as I said to Matt Cooper a couple of years ago, you can't blame somebody who's had an experience, somebody with a dangerous, you know, somebody has done something dangerous to them. But as I said to Matt Cooper, there's two types of schizophrenia. There's schizophrenia and there's hebephrenia. And paranoid schizophrenia is hebephrenia, but they don't mention that. The media just talk about paranoid schizophrenics, and therefore everyone with schizophrenia is tarred with the same brush, and even people with bipolar and depression are looked on as, you know, dodgy, and it's ridiculous. Schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia, hebephrenia, which it is where the ventricles in the human brain are open and the person is actually insane because their brain is, it's, you know, you don't get them in the regular psychiatric hospitals. You have to go to the kind of severe ones.
And like, that's what's so important, and I presume one of the big focuses of World Mental Health Day is going to be about breaking down the walls, breaking the stigma. But also, what about just your kind of general tips, Richard, for just looking after your mental health? What advice would you have?
Well, there are places you can go. There are good places to go. You need to interact. I currently have a little bit of work, but I also go to the Carriages Clubhouse, which is down here in the Sullis Industrial Estate. It used to be New Dawn, a day centre. And when I was living in Bray years ago, I went to it for a year. And Carriages Clubhouse is great because there's no barriers. The staff treat us completely as if we were one of them. You know, there's no, the fence is down, if you know what I mean, Wendy. The fence is down in the Carriages Clubhouse in Bray, and people can interact and they can come and go, and they're not under pressure. It's, you see, the thing is, when you've been out of the work situation for a long time, it's very difficult, even though you're quite well, to get back under the pressure of it. And the problem is that people with illness are not good under pressure, and this place, the Carriages Clubhouse in Bray, makes it all makes it easier for people to interact and have a structure to the day and do a bit of work, but without being under huge pressure. And you can get your self-esteem goes up, because a lot of people with mental illness isolate themselves. They become isolated because there's the stigma. First of all, some people don't even go for help because of the stigma. They're ashamed. It's less and less, the stigma is less and less, but there's still a fear among the general public, because there was a National Economic and Social Forum report that said that only 36% of people 36% of people who were interviewed in a poll said that children with mental health difficulties should be in a school with their children. So there's ignorance. And then you have the Amnesty International report, which stated that only about 5% of people with mental health difficulties are working, which is crazy, you know, because what about the Job Shadow Initiative? The Job Shadow Initiative, which was outlined in a vision for change by the government in 2006, said that people should be able to go back to should have the same rights as people with the illness should have the same rights as people who don't have the illness, and there should be more accountability, and there should be better chances for employment. But unless things really improve, you can't see employers taking on people. But you can hire three people with mental health difficulties for 2 days for less than the cost of one person, one professional person. And a lot of people with schizophrenia and bipolar and depression, mental health problems in general, have qualifications because they got sick after they qualified.
Sure, so. Yeah. And I have to say, it's just been so illuminating, really, Richard, talking to you, and thank you for coming on and just, you know, giving us advice, telling us a bit about your story. As I said at the start, you know, I would just like to see, in my family, it certainly is, thank God, where we have a situation where, you know, talking about how we look after our mental health is exactly the same as talking after, you know, how we look after our fitness or whatever the case may be. And I think it should be as normal and everyday as that. And that we need to just continue to break down the walls and break the stigma. We really appreciate you coming on to talk to us today, Richard. Best of luck with the second book that you're already working
much.
On.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just want to give some websites out just for people who might be listening. Yourmentalhealth.ie is a great website, aware.ie, mentalhealthireland.ie, grow.ie. Anybody listening at the moment who is suffering at the moment or is in difficulty, the Samaritans hotline is 1-850-6090. So 1-850-6090-90. Richard McGee, author of Mood Swings, thank you so much this morning for coming in to talk to us about this very important topic, and we will chat to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.